We're going to talk about a subject that a lot of you have heard before. Many of you AMC members have heard this this topic time and time and time and time again. But I don't think it happened up in on that trip that you heard about. Dr. Owen and I and Dr. Ingram and Dr. Thornton went on. We went on a motorcycle trip, and a lot of good things came out of that. Amazing, when you get away, things come clear. How many in here have ever heard of myself or Dr. Owen talking about a made-up mind? How many know what a made-up mind is? Only half of this class raised their hands saying they've heard of us talk about a made-up mind. Now, many of you have heard us talk about attitude, right? That's surprising to me. We only have probably 20% of the AMC family present here today, and only half of that raised their hand on what they know what a made-up mind is. Excuse me, only half of you raised your hand even hearing us talk about a made-up mind. See, that's quite surprising that we're 4 years into the family of AMC, and the most powerful factor that you have in life, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Now, Dr. Owen did a talk up. How many was in Cincinnati? Dr. Owen talked about the laws of success. That afternoon, he talked about love, success, right? But do you know in both those factors, you have to have a made-up mind to do either one of them? To actually succeed, you have to make up your mind to do it. And you got to make it. You get to decide. You get to make up your mind whether you're going to love something or dislike something. It's always a choice. I can dislike you because of, or I can love you in spite of. It's a matter of making up your mind. Now, that's what we're going to talk about together here for a while. It is the most powerful factor in life, yet so many people don't even know what makes it. Now, you've heard that. It's a generic term now. Just make up your mind and do it. How do you do that? Take a brother and a sister or two brothers or whatever. They have the exact same background. They go through the same school. They eat at the same table every day. They have the same parents. One ends up doing this and one ends up doing that. One ends up succeeding. One ends up being Joe Blow. Nothing special. Now, how does that happen? You can't say it's in the genes. Can't say that either one of them had any different opportunities. Can't say either one of them were loved more than the other. It's just the fact that something clicked. One got fixed on something. Something turned their life around, and something, and they got fixed on a subject, and they ended up going for it. They made up their mind. Now, I'm going to break it down for you today, what a made-up mind is. How do you do it? How do you nurture it? Now, you can make up your mind today. You just heard Dr. Owen speak just on a subject that he can talk for 7 hours on how to be a millionaire. And the majority of that speech was, you know, you just make up your mind. That was the majority of that speech, but it's still the most powerful factor. Now, this next hour or hour and a half that I'm going to talk to you, or however long this talk lasts, I've never really given this talk before, so let's see how long we can go at it. But I'm not going to entertain you, and I'm not going to put any rah-rah on you. All the rah-rah, or whatever you want to call it, the emotional stuff is over. I'm going to talk face-to-face, brass tacks with you. Let me give you a hint. If I can reach just one of you, then it's worth my time. You have a choice right now. You're going to make a decision here somewhere in the next 10, 15 minutes when normally you lose your attention span. You're going to get to make a decision. Either Tom's talking hype, or Tom's talking serious. It'll be your choice. And you can actually say, I don't have to make the decision whether or not to use something like that. I can do it later. You know what? You still made a decision. You shut me off. You can shut me off. Go ahead. I'm here to share something with you that can make the biggest difference in your life more than anything else. Let's break it down. Now, we got something up here, up on the wall. Let's break those down. Let's start off with persistence. What is persistent? I mean, you know what persistence is. I mean, a grandchild can be persistent on asking, you know, he wants that candy bar, or he wants to go to the movies. And that grandchild can ask that for to go to the movies. Well, Dr. Owen's got the example. Thankfully, I was not in that car that day. That my little nephew, Davin, his little 4 or 5-year-old, from the state line of Georgia and South Carolina, they were going to Myrtle Beach. And that kid got putt-putt, goony golf on his mind. And he asked, he managed to bring up the words putt-putt in conversation, whether he was asking for it, however, 242 times between the state line of Georgia and South Carolina to Myrtle Beach. It's called persistence. Do you know what that, did anybody else in that car want to play putt-putt? No. But do you know what they did when they got to Myrtle Beach? Played putt-putt. Persistence. What do I mean by persistence? What would you be persistent in, Dr. Snyder? Now see, that's Dr. Snyder stood up a while ago and told us that it's persistent over time. It makes the difference. And that's why he has to keep coming back and getting focused. Why does he have to keep coming back and getting focused? Because he doesn't have the habits of persistence built into the system. I'm not saying anything against him. I'm just saying that's it. Persistence is a habit. Write that out. Persistence is a habit. Dr. Merrill, you and I share the fact that we're in the same family. What kind of prayer gets answered? I can be very sincere and ask God one time for something. Persistent prayer gets answered. You got to prove to God that you're serious about it. Yep, that's right. Persistent prayer, you got to persistently focus. You can't wish for things. I'm going to say this later in this talk. You know what a goal without a deadline is? It's a wish. Don't make wishes. Focus on whatever you're, and we're going to break this further and further down and get it in detail, but I'm talking about focus. When I say focus, focus is not having the ability or anyone else having the ability to distract you from whatever your goal may be. Focus. The world has so much negativity, fear, doubt, insecurities, envy, pride. It can steal your focus unless you prove to be committed to what, focusing on whatever it may be. Now, I'm not talking about money here. I'm talking about anything you want in your life. You want a good marriage? Guess what? You got to be persistent. You got to focus on. You can take this right across the board. This is principles in life. You got to focus on what you want. You got to decide on what you want. Now, I already said persistence is a habit, didn't I? You can't say whatever our goal may be. We can't make up our mind today. What's today? Today's July 8th. You cannot say, Dr. Weaver, that I want to have a $30,000 a month practice. You can't say whatever your goals are in life. And I'm talking inside. I'm not talking necessarily the material things. You can't say, though, that you have a goal and not create a habit-forming lifestyle to get it. You can't do this and then a week from now let something distract you. It can't be something that you're not serious enough to stay on it for 2 months, 6 months, a year. You follow me? You cannot vacillate on this stuff. Persistence is habit-forming. You cannot wish. I mean, if you just say this today and then next week I ask you again, what was that you decided to do last Saturday? And you have to go, oh yeah, it was this. You know what? You just proved to me you haven't been thinking about it for 7 days. That's not a habit. Now, let's keep going. We're going to come back to that in a few minutes on habits. But one of the other words is commitment. These are all factors of a made-up mind, the generic term that you hear. You know, did anybody ever hear of Dr. Owen telling the story about this was back in the day, all the big guru chiropractors, whatever you want to call them, big successful group of chiropractors always got together and they had their, you know, brainstorming time, big all-day, two-day sessions. And it was Dr. Burt Batwell and another big group. They were all down at Jacksonville out at the Sea Turtle Inn. And they were there for 2 days. They were set and ready. And Dr. Batwell gets up there. Now, everybody's traveled a long way to get here. He stands up in front of the group, says, I'm going to make this real simple. He says, we're all here to succeed. There's only two things you got to do to succeed. He says, let's get it all out. Let's get it out of the way so we can go ahead and enjoy our time here. He says, you got to love what you do, you got to think positive. Now, that's, if you really sit back and really understand what it takes to do that, if you understand the rules like those people did, then he had it whipped. And you know what? They enjoyed their time. They went out on the beach and had a good time and all went home with that. But see, that's so simple that most of you just goes right over your head. You don't even know what I'm talking about because it's a lifestyle that you have to create. Now, commitment. Whatever we decide we want in our life, we have to commit to it. Now, I don't know if this is in the dictionary, but in my time, in my experience, I have found commitment means one thing. Commitment means sacrifice. So you got to commit to something, whatever it may be. Commit to God, commit to your church, commit to your family, commit to your wife or your husband, commit to chiropractic, commit to your practice, whatever your commitment may be. So you have to be willing to sacrifice or you're not committed. What I mean by that, and in this mind, what we're talking about a made-up mind. Whatever we're going to set our minds to, we're going to do it. Well, then you got to make some commitments to that. You're not going to be able to make up your mind and then just start hoping for things. Say, ooh, golly gee, I'm going to have this, 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 I'm going to have this. That's one part of it. That's one part, but you've got to commit and sacrifice things. And that can be getting into the motions, just going through the motions. If it was success, how many times have you heard me say, if success was tied up into a script, every chiropractor in America would be successful. If success was tied up in a step-by-step manual, every chiropractor in America would be successful. What makes the difference? Someone sacrifices and commits to something. Whatever it is, they commit to something. And sacrifice means you might have to give up your afternoon golf sessions, your Thursday afternoon golf. You might have to give up your TV time where you say, I just got to have that hour and a half just to wind down at night. What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to give up for your goals and aspirations in life? That's commitment. You got to sacrifice. And I'll tell you something else. If you're really committed to something, then a commitment allows no excuses. Now, some of you are going to go on a boat this afternoon, and it's named for exactly that reason. Because success requires no excuses. Failure allows no alibis. That's a true man. See, a man that fails sits there and comes up with an excuse and excuse and excuse. He isn't taking responsibility for his own actions. And a commitment will allow no excuses. John, you catching what I mean by that? A commitment will not allow an excuse. It's either a commitment or it's not a commitment. You've either made a deal or you haven't made a deal with yourself. And if you continue forming a habit of breaking your own word to yourself, then you are creating a habit and you are going to get the result that that brings. Now, the next one over there is desire, or the first one, desire. I've already kind of started this already. Desire is what you've got to do this. I can't do it for you. Your friends can't do it for you. Your family can't do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. Desire is you have to decide. You have to know what you need, what you want. You cannot create a wish list. I'm not asking you to write down, oh, I'd like to have this type of car. I'd like to have a house, or I'd like to have this. Don't create a wish list. You got to decide what you're going for. And does everybody understand what I mean by that? Don't necessarily go after material things. Go after something that's going to change you to make you a better person, that you're going to be able to touch enough lives that you don't have to worry about material things. See, haven't you ever heard of money is nothing more than the shavings of a good carpenter's tools at work? It's the byproduct, side effect. Decide what you want as a person, what you've got to develop. And normally, that takes a lot of that takes time to sit down and get serious with yourself. No one puts limits on you except you. And it takes time for you to really critique yourself and decide what's my weaknesses, what's my strengths. Remember the saying, if wishes were horses, beggars ride. You got to get serious with your own life. Nothing up here that I say or do is going to change anything unless you decide to allow it to change you. I've already experienced it. I'm just sharing it with you. Whether you go home and use it or not, it's yours. It's your decision. Now, this whole talk, this might be the beginning. Like I started this talk off with, if I can just reach one of you, it's going to be worth my time up here. This might be the beginning. This talk might be the initial spark that you're looking for that changes your concepts. And that's the next thing. We're going beyond these three concepts. Everybody in here are individuals. You got your own background. The experiences, the decisions that you've made in the past make the person that's sitting in those chairs. You're not different. You all have the exact same potential. There's nothing special about markets. There's nothing special about marketing, location, techniques, and all that. It all equals out. You also have the exact same potentials. And today might be the change, to just start changing your concept. Now, you have to convince yourself, sitting here today, to take this, put it into action. But how do you change your concepts? If you want to change your concepts for the better, then find people that have the concepts that you want. You might not relate with it right now, Dr. Beaver, Dr. Lewis. You might not relate with people that down in Fort Lauderdale, they cruise down on $3 million yachts and they go around the world. And you say, well, they had, like Dad said earlier, they had to sell their soul to do that. No, it's just the fact that you haven't ever been exposed to how they do it. And you don't have the concept of seeing yourself doing it. That's what a concept is, putting yourself in the same picture. Everybody with me? So each one of you have your own background, you have your own experience, you have your own histories. The choices you've made in your past have made the person that you are today. The point is, today's not the end. As long as you're still breathing, you still have a chance. Now, before we go into this next subject, you have to write this out right now. Before we can make up our mind to go for anything, we must write this rule out. Kind of hinted on it a little bit, but write this out. I will not allow myself to make an excuse. And I will take responsibility for my actions or the lack thereof. And I told you earlier, I'm not here to entertain you. If you can't go past that one right there, then you might as well go ahead and go get you a cup of coffee and sit outside. Because that's the first step to being a leader. That's the first step to being successful, is swallowing that pride. Pride will cost you more in your life than any other con artist will ever come along and take your money. You got to humble yourself. You cannot allow yourself to make excuses. You must be willing to take your responsibility for your actions or the lack thereof. Now let's break down a made-up mind. How does it start? Attitude. Okay. If you don't have the attitude of going for something way outside your comfort zone, because you all live in your own comfort zones. We all live in our own little worlds. We protect our little worlds. We don't allow anybody in it. And guess what? By doing that, you're limiting yourself. I agree. Be protective of who you allow in your life. Absolutely. My point being is you got to have an attitude of going beyond that to get beyond your concepts. Now, I've already hit this, that each and every one of you, take a look around. We got, 50 people in here? Take a look around. Each and everybody. Get a good look. There's not one person in here that has any more opportunity or any more potential than another. You're all sitting here on equal basis. What you do from this point will be up to you. But most people, what makes a successful person different from the next? He doesn't allow himself to procrastinate. He does not allow himself to be lazy in decision making. He doesn't live an excuse-filled life. You know what I'm talking about. those people that there's one excuse after another. I got a friend of mine. He'll do anything for me. He's a good friend, but he just drives me. I cannot relate with him, and I don't allow myself to be around him too much because his whole life is one long excuse. One long excuse. It's always someone else. Always something else. And you can allow yourself to get in that rut, and it's not going to do anything but diminish you. Now, we set an attitude. We have to decide with an attitude. We have to have a good attitude. You can make up your mind to be good, or you can make up your mind to be bad. You can make up your mind to do right, you make up your mind to do wrong. You got to have the good attitude to start off with. But the first thing in a made-up mind you've got to decide, Dr. Owen hit on this pretty good, is we have to have something simple to shoot for. We have to have that chief aim that Dr. Owen was talking about. Now think a chief aim. He spent a few minutes on this. A chief aim is not to make $100,000 this year. A chief aim is something simple that you want to strive for in your life as a person and become. Dr. Owen told you earlier his chief aim. He wants to have a positive influence on as many people as he can on his time on earth. That is a chief aim. That is something he gets up every morning and says, I will accomplish my chief aim today. What's my chief aim? My chief aim, similar to his, but I want to help. It's in my heart. My chief aim, I want to help as many people as I can reach their goals and aspirations. And in turn, I'll never have to worry about mine. I don't focus on the material stuff. I focus on helping you and helping you and helping you. And in turn, I know I'll be blessed. That's my chief aim. Somebody else's chief aim, we heard in Cincinnati, was I want to serve my family, I want to serve God, and I want to serve chiropractic. That's a chief aim. It's simple. You've got to have that. Now after that, now you got to decide with specific, you've got to come up. See, some of you are catching this, and some of them it's just going because all your opinions and your beliefs shield you from the realities of life. That's your fault. That's your problem. Your opinions and your beliefs shield you from all this stuff. It makes it go over the head. But you've got to decide right off the bat that you're going to have specific goals. Write that out. You're going to come up with specific goals, but those specific goals are going to have the most important factor of a goal. It has to have a deadline. If you do not have a deadline, then you have nothing more than a wish list. Now, before you step any further in your goals, you've got to decide. And here we go. See, every aspect of growth in a made-up mind. See, when you're all said and done and you've got somebody that has a true made-up mind, you'll find they'll have also the characteristics that go along with a leader. Can't do it. You can't have your mind made up time and time and time again in some worthwhile goal and not create the characteristics of a leader. So you've got to decide on your goals right now, Dr. Thornton, as to whether or not you're going to be involved with them or you're going to be committed to them. Remember up on the mountain, you reminded me of that? Dr. Thornton reminded me on our camping trip, on our bike trip, about the old ham and eggs scenario. Some of you have been around long enough to remember me talking about that. But everything in life comes down to ham and eggs. Chicken's involved, but the pig's committed. What you're willing to sacrifice to get what you want. Okay, let's move on. All right, once we make up our mind, we've got a chief aim. We've got our goals laid out. We know where we want to go, in other words. We have set it out. Lord, this came from my heart. This is what I yearn for. This is what I want. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to do it. And then we walk out our front door and start going to work, and bam! The reality of life hits us right in the face. Every negativity that we have fought for to defend starts hitting us. You got the debt. You got the bills. You got the bill payers. You got the complaining patients. You got the lack of patience. You got doubt. You got insincerity. Right on down the line. The world is full of it. So how do we nurture our made-up mind? Because you've got to. Remember I told you had to create a habit-forming lifestyle to keep up a made-up mind. Well, you've got to nurture it. How do you nurture it? Well, you've got to commit. Once again, there's that word commit to creating a sense of habits that strengthen the most important muscle. Now, just so happens we're sitting here with a bunch of chiropractors. This talk will work anywhere because this isn't based on our profession. It's based on individuality, based on an individual's potential. But it just so happens we're sitting here with a bunch of chiropractors. And in that, especially the young chiropractors, I see it all the time. And I don't laugh at it, but I do snicker a little bit. We got these people that'll come to my boot camps, and they'll show up, and they'll have two big bottles of water. And they'll have all these health foods, snack foods to get them through the day, and they're eating their raisin and nuts, and they do all that, and they'll nurture everything in their body to live to the full potential of life, yet they don't nurture the most important muscle in their body called your mind. I find it so humorous when they do that. You're there they are sitting there eating their raisins and nuts, broke. I'd much rather be healthy and wealthy together because the healthy have more better chance of being wealthy and the wealthy have a better chance of being healthy. With me? Yet you don't take time to nurture lots of people. You get into an average rut. You get into the habit patterns. Now, how do we nurture the most important muscle in our body, the mind. Well, we must feed our minds with a chief result in mind. We have got to start feeding our mind. You can't expect that you are such a great individual, Dr. Hallett, that you're going to be able to conquer everything that's out there waiting for you and all the distractions that you have waiting for you by just saying, I got it in, I can do it. You can't do that. You got to nurture it every day. It's worth nurturing. Number one, here we go. How do you nurture your mind? Successful person always does this. It's a habit. Here we go. Habits. I used to think Dad was nuts. And I said I would never. I'm like, oh, man, no way. What's the purpose of doing this? But number one is you've got to get in the habit of rising early. Rise early and have quiet time, pre-thought to your day. Those of you that jump out of the bed, you push the snooze button twice, and then you jump out and you grudgingly get in the shower, go through your morning ritual, and all of a sudden, bam, you're at the office at 10 till 9. Guess what? How can you expect to be successful if you didn't put any pre-thought? How can you expect to have a good day if you didn't put any pre-thought to it? You got to rise early. That's a habit. That's something you got to commit to. I can't make you get out of bed and have that time. And does everybody know what I mean by having quiet time? Pre-thought time. I mean, I've got a cousin by the name of Cindy. She was how old, Dad, before she knew what the word goal meant? 19 years old. She didn't know what a goal meant. She didn't. So I'm asking, do you know what pre-thought time is? Todd, just shutting up and let God talk. And if you don't do that every day, I'm not asking for 30 minutes, 10 minutes a day. Just stop and listen. And what are we going to do today? That's one way you nurture. Number two, you need to get in the habit of listening to people that are stronger in your weak areas. If your weak area is in practice, so be it. If your weak area is in communication skills, find that person. If your weak area is in financial management, managing finances, find that person. And how do you do that? You do it with through tapes. You do it through attending classes of proven people, not someone that just up there and talks the talk but doesn't walk the walk. Someone that has the credentials to do that. So you be careful who you just go and listen to, especially you young doctors right out of school. Be careful who you go listen to because you're forming your concepts of practice. That's just thrown out there. Someone that's truly got their mind set, made up mind, can take that to the point like I do. I get pillow speakers. Most powerful time is when the subconscious is most alert. And that's at night. So you be careful what you put into that pillow speaker. But it depends on how serious are you? How serious are you? That's just a helpful hint there. Number three. This is one that most of you don't ever do. Strengthening your mind. How does something get in your mind, Dr. Snyder? How does something get in your mind, Dr. Snyder? What are the other instruments of your body that allow something to get in your mind? Sight and listening. You know what the most powerful type of listening there is? Listening to yourself. How many of you can honestly say that you speak out loud what you expect? How many people walk through their office and say, I expect to see new patients in that consultation room? Lord, I see a room full of people here. Lord, I see a hallway full of people here. I speak what I want into existence. Why isn't that in the Bible? Speak it. You got to speak out loud. I am going to, didn't you hear Dr. Owen talk about Sid Williams? Be careful what you ask for, but I am power. I am power. I am power. Well, I've already hit on that. I want this. I want that. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be this. You got to speak that stuff out loud. A great time to do that is in the morning going to work. I got 25 minutes every day. I'm not wasting it. 25 minutes to myself is worthwhile now. 4 years ago, maybe it wasn't, but it is now. Speak it out loud what I expect out of today. It's habit forming. You are one team going against the world. One member on one team. And number four is you got to get in the habit of reading. Dr. Owen, and be careful what you read. Gosh, you know, Dad already hit that. You don't, no one ever has a, and what, okay, before I get into that, why do you read? Of course, you're nurturing the mind, strengthening it, right? But if you're reading something positive, I guarantee you you'll start getting positive flashes. Just as much as I can listen to an AMC tape on patient control or referrals, and I'm listening to it just to, hey, feed my mind. This is what I'm teaching. This is what I need to know. But you know what? I'll get to the office, and I have my pen, and I'll look next to it, and there's like six or seven flashes I've had on the way in. It has nothing to do with referrals. Why is that? I'm feeding something positive into my mind. Well, you got to read. And don't read the newspaper. You're never going to get a positive flash reading the newspaper. Don't read it. Don't say, well, I've got to have my current affairs or, you know, bull. I'll prove to you right now how look at your nuts right on the table. I'll prove it right now. How about the kid that was the Cuban kid just a couple months ago that you couldn't get, you couldn't go anywhere without seeing anything about it, right? Do you know that kid was shipped back before I ever knew about it? The only way I heard about it was at our dinner table when we had a family gathering. I don't allow it, folks. I can't do anything about it. So if I can't do anything about it, I don't want it. But I tell you, I don't read the newspaper and I don't listen to the news because I'm not going to get anything good out of it. You got to make commitments. Now, that leads into this. This is a very important part I'm going to take a couple minutes to really nail with you. And Robert, you're in here with me. I want you to listen to this with me, buddy. Everybody sitting in this class, and everybody out there, your mind is going to be filled. Write that out. My mind is going to be filled regardless of what I do. But you must, and this is underlined must 10 times, you must learn how to control what you put in it. You must learn to control what you allow someone or something to put in it. I'm telling you, don't allow negativity in your life. Now let's talk about this for a second. This is serious. Don't allow negativity in your life. I don't allow it. Just don't allow it. If someone starts talking about something that has no importance to my goal in life, it's negative. It's not using my short time on life. I'm not making that time useful. If it's not a motivating factor, or it's going to be influencing someone else in a positive way, it's generic talk. It's a part of negativity. You better watch your music. I'm guilty of that. You better watch who you hang out with. And folks, if you hang out with people that are on equal levels to you or below levels to you, you will never go up. I'm not preaching to you. I'm being exact. And many of you can sit here and take it or you can leave it. But it does not change the truth. Truth is truth, whether I speak it or someone else talks it. I'm telling you, learn to control what you allow to go into your mind. Learn to control what you speak out loud. Just as much as your mouth can be a powerful motivating factor to your life, it can be just as demoting. It can steal that power by going, well, you know, I really want to do that, but do I really have it in me? That's doubt. That's doubt talking right there. Be very careful what you allow. Let's talk serious for a second. Everybody, you begin dying. Now, this doesn't sound nice, but this is reality, and you're all dealing with reality in your own ways. But you begin dying the day you're born. What you accomplish in this short time will be a direct result of what you allow in your mind from day one, or what your parents allowed in your mind from day one. Now, you can overcome some of the past of what was put in there, but what you accomplish in this short time that you have will be a direct result of what you allow, and what you will allow in your mind. And it is your responsibility, and it's no one else's fault, of what you get accomplished. So if you choose right now to turn me off and not start changing your lifestyle accordingly to whatever you want, that's fine. That's fine. But don't you dare ever let me hear you or anyone else that's in this class ever hear you complain about your situation. Because it's a direct result of what you allow in your life every day. Now, if you fill this short time on earth with self-pity, pity parties, laziness, self-inflicted opinions, limited beliefs, you put the limits on you. No one else puts those clouds above you. Then you are wasting the most valuable commodity that God ever gave you. That's called life. That's all self-inflicted stuff right there, folks. And if you'll go back there and look at it, it's also all of our patterns of habits. So we know we've got to fill our mind and nurture that muscle, right? We've got to fill it with positive, strengthening material. And we got to do it through our eyes, through our mouth, and through our ears. Because we know the world's filled with enough doubt, fear, insecurity, jealousy, envy, poverty, and pride to steal every ounce of positive flow that we have. If we try to do it on our own, you're kidding yourself. You're not kidding me, and you're not kidding anybody else, but you're kidding yourself. Now, as you can feed it consistently, daily food, you will develop the next important factor of a made-up mind. Write this out with me. You probably won't have this until you start the other. Everything we've talked about up to this point, You probably will not get this until you start here. So start where we've already talked about. But the next thing is you got to have self-confidence. Now this is really where you begin to become a master of controlling your thoughts. Have you ever heard us talk about where the mind goes, the rest will follow? What you allow to get your mind distracted on, Dr. Thornton, the rest will follow, doesn't it? And that can be anything emotionally outside your office. I'm talking about chiropractic right now, but this relates to anything in your life. But build a house, guarantee you, practice will be affected. Go through a divorce, practice will be affected. A separation, anything. Anything gets your mind emotionally distracted. Now, self-confidence. How do you start that? First of all, you got to start seeing yourself above the situation. And you have to begin to start a new characteristic. And that new characteristic is you have to learn the ability. You will not have this ability without going through all this other. If you're feeding your mind, like I told you, and we have a definite chief aim, and we have goals, and then we're feeding it like we're promising ourselves to do, because we're only breaking our own word to ourselves when we don't do it, then you're going to have self-confidence, and you will then create the characteristics of not allowing yourself to be intimidated. Do not allow yourself to be intimidated. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care how big they are. I don't care how powerful they are. Do not allow yourself to be intimidated. I don't mean like pick a fight with somebody. I'm saying no one puts me down. You may have more than me or know more than me right now, but you're not going to put me down. Not going to allow it. Why? Because I know I have the potential to have exactly what you have if I put my mind to it. I just haven't put my mind to that category. You got me? Somebody like to shove their weight around on you or their power around on you? You've got to learn not to be intimidated. And if you learn this, then you'll be a better chiropractor and you'll control your practice better. Okay. I had this written down to give you kind of a synopsis. Some of you know this, some of you don't. But high school, college, and still to this day, I'm a lover of basketball. Love it, found a lot of the rules in life apply to it. And in high school, I went to a small, private Christian school. Better than average athletes that we had there. But I learned this from Dad from early on. It did not matter who we played. And I remember one particular game that stands out. Did not matter who we played. I would not allow myself or my team to be intimidated. We were a bunch of white guys running around, nobody over 6'2". Not saying anything about that, but I remember one particular game we played Lake Butler, which was a 2A or 3A school. Lake Butler is 30 miles west of town. Lake Butler is where the big state penitentiary is. A lot of blue collar, a lot of, it was an intimidating environment to go into because we were the only white people there, just to say it real frank, okay? We went in there, and I mean, huge gym, state flag, state championships all over the place. Whole crowd laughing at us if we go out there. You play within your own abilities, and you don't let up. We walked out of there winning. Now I go down another list, lines and lines of basketball stories doing that. Consistency. Consistency plays a part of a made-up mind. Now, Dr. Owen tells a story. His proudest moment was the night I played the Florida D&B and I hit 19 free throws from straight. And, he tells a story. They did. They set a goal out that day. They said they got two main scorers on that team, Keith Hargett and Tom Owen. Well, we can't stop Keith Hargett, but by God, we'll stop that Tom Owen. And they just pushed me to the floor. These guys are 24-year-old deaf guys. And they're huge, and they would kill me. Consistency of 19 straight free throws ended up winning the game on an opposing floor. Point is, consistency of feeding my abilities is what allowed me to do that at the time of requirement. In other words, when it was required. You follow with me here, folks? I can tell you one story after another, and you have your own. But the point is, don't allow yourself to be intimidated and prepare yourself for the task. The old practice makes perfect, that's not true. Perfect practice makes perfect. But if you're going to show up to God and say, I want this and I want that, and then not be willing to bear the task of getting it, you're crazy. You're kidding yourself again. All right, keep on moving. Oh yeah, I did want to throw this one out. You know the difference between those games I just talked about in high school, that's 13 years ago now, 14. You know what the difference between those games are now and the game of life today? Because I just ran out of time in those games. Every day you wake up, you got another shot at it. In fact, I made up my mind a long time ago, like Vince Lombardi said. He said he never lost a game. He just ran out of time. And that's the way I see it. I never lost a game, just ran out of time. But as long as you're breathing on this earth, you still got a chance to win. You still got a chance to change your experiences in your past to a different future. It's up to you. Okay. You've got to learn that with a made-up mind, you can't be defeated. You've got to come up with the mentality that nothing in this world can defeat me and the one within. I didn't say you won't get knocked down. In fact, I believe that's truly what makes a man. When I say man, woman. What makes a true person? What makes a true individual? You're all going to have trials and tribulations and bad experiences. But if you choose to let those things that knock you down control you, then you're defeated. It's the ones that have the cojones to stand up and say, I'm not finished. I'm not done. You don't allow yourself. And see, another thing right there, nobody in this room is going to come up with, you know, you want to start comparing scars, who has the worst past, who has the worst bringing child experiences and all that stuff, or the reasons why you shouldn't succeed. You're not going to come up with anything worse than us. We had it. We had it all taken away. Tell you my quick testimony real quick, and then we're going to get on with the made up mind. Don't have pity parties. You don't have a good enough excuse. I grew up having everything. At the age of 18, when I thought everything was going to fall into place for me, three letters came into my life called the IRS. Cleaned us out. We went from living in a 6,500 square foot house on the river to living in we started out living in a camper. Then we got to move up to a mobile home trailer. And we had a $2 million tax lien on us. Now you crawl out of that hole. You don't have an excuse. Don't have self-pity parties. You hear me? You make up your mind what you're going to do with today and you move on. Make up your mind, and you have to come up with that mentality, that brazing attitude that nothing in this world can defeat me and the one within. Now, once you realize this rule, then you will have the self-confidence, and you will start having the power mind from now on. The next stage in the made-up mind is understanding taking responsibility for your actions, for your present situation, where we're starting from today. That's what you're going to go home with, right? You're not going home with your past, and you're not going home with your future. You got to go home, start out where we started, back there with the chief aim, set goals. Now we're creating a habit pattern of lifestyle of feeding and nurturing our mind. We have the self-confidence. Now we have to be willing to take responsibility for our current situation. No excuses are allowed. We swallow our pride and move on. We do not associate with negativities. Through what? Where does our negativities come from? Our ears, our eyes, and our mouths. We don't associate with negative friends. If people's going to talk about idle subjects, don't associate with it. You got to decide what you're going to ask life to give you. Then you're going to have to bear the task. Don't allow it. Don't associate with friends that are on the same levels or below the level of your mentality. Don't associate with coworkers the same or associates. Don't participate in petty thoughts, deeds, conversations. Do not seek or indulge in sympathy. Don't allow yourself to worry. That's a tough one for a lot of you to actually grasp. And so you can't do this right now. You can't go home and say, oh man, this stuff's good Tom's talking about. You've got to start at point A where we started the class with. And then when you get down here, you'll find that you will not allow yourself to worry. 90% of the things that you worry about never occur. And I'll give you a little rule that I was taught several years ago. Write this one out. If this, whatever you're worrying about, whatever the subject may be, ask yourself, will it affect my life? Write this out. Will it affect my life 5 years from now? If it won't, move on. If it will, deal with it. Don't run from your worries. Don't run from your fears. Face it. Figure out what the worst could happen through it and deal with it. Then move on. That's how you attack worry. Now, coming into the last factor of a made-up mind. Can anyone review, that's paying attention to me, review what the first factors of a made-up mind were? You have to have a chief aim. You start with an attitude. You have specific goals with deadlines. You've got to learn to nurture your mind, feed your minds with a chief result in mind. And I've already given you the ways to do that. The other factor was self-confidence. And the last one is enthusiasm. Folks, if you don't make this thing fun, then it will be. Well, enthusiasm is the yeast that raises the dough. A little low, no dough. You with me on that? You got to be excited about whatever we're trying to accomplish here. It's got to be a motivating factor. You have to be excited. How do you create enthusiasm? Some of you are people with bundled energy just waiting to escape. Other ones, we have to pull it out of you. How do you create enthusiasm on an everyday basis? Who? The cheer. That's one. The cheer might not have a darn thing to do with our chief aim and our specific goals, but it's a habit-forming way to create enthusiasm in your life every day. Every day. And you'll find that when there's enthusiasm involved, that chases away a lot of the negativity. Isn't that right, Dr. Dietrich? Can't we tell when a day slips by or when you were there? You can tell. The cheer creates enthusiasm. What's another way? Reward yourself. That's a problem a lot of you have. You work and strive so hard every day, that you don't allow yourself those little rewards. You give to your patients, you give to chiropractic, you give, and then you never reward yourself. Reward yourself can be a number of things. Whatever your little perk is. Could be a new car. Could be every Saturday morning is my time to go golfing. That's my time. Whatever it is. Could be just, what's my perk? My perk is deal with my business, spend my time with my family. Reward yourself. Don't carry your burdens to home is what I mean by that. Another way, laughing sessions. Now some of you are looking at me like, what in the world are you talking about a laughing session? You ever had a laughing session in your family? Just a plain old laughing session. Those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, you're missing out. I was lucky enough to have parents that did that. We just have laughing sessions. Because if you're laughing, you can't worry, and you can't think negative when you're laughing. How do you create enthusiasm in your life? Laugh at nothing, because there's always enough of that to go around. Just start laughing. Nothing. There's always a nothing. There's enough of that to go around. You with me, Dr. T? Stay with me, Doc. Have laughing sessions. They can be with your family or they can be by yourself, whatever. But man, if you don't have laughter in your life, you'll go nuts. The world will get the best of you. Your situation will get the best of you. Enthusiasm. Have laughing sessions. Another thing that creates enthusiasm is challenge and competition. Find someone that's of equal level with you that wants to go in a similar direction and challenge yourself. Challenge them. That's why we do that at the end of these meetings. Challenge somebody. It keeps you focused. It keeps you enthused. And you're going to check on it and say, I want to beat that person. That's a type of enthusiasm. Now, last but not least, before we end this thing, is I want to ask you a question. You think about it. A lot of you have your own mentors that got you to where you are today. You have certain people that you really look up to. Certain people that are successful in your mind. But I want to ask you this. Have you ever known one person in your life that ever succeeded without having fun at what they did? That wasn't successful then. Success to me is not one spike up the ladder and then come back down. Success is the way of life. Success is a way of life. So you got to learn to do that. You got to learn how to have fun at what you do. And my golly, you're chiropractors. You should not have a problem learning to have fun working at something that you love. And that's a motivating factor, is love what you do. Didn't I say that earlier? Burt Batwell says, love what you do, think positive. Let me go ahead and give you a little hint, especially to you guest doctors. Well, it's good for everybody. I'm teaching you how to nurture and maintain a made-up mind. You got to make up your mind to be something. I'm not talking money. You got to make up your mind to make something of yourself. You got a short time on this earth to do something about it. You got to make up your mind to change your future. Now, my main objective in AMC is to make a difference. I don't want to just make a living. I want to make a difference. You can't do that without loving with what you do. And all the procedures, all these procedures that you're here to learn, all the promos, all the hype, all the opinions won't do a darn thing until you make up your mind to love what you do. That should be one of your chief goals. I'm coming back to the beginning. One of your goals is to love what I do. And when you focus on that every day, you'll find it'll spread. And when you love something, you'll get love back. Isn't that why volume practitioners don't last long term? They don't get that rapport back. They don't get that love back from their patient. It's just a bunch of hot melting bones laid up on a bunch of tables. They don't get that rapport. You got to love what you do. And if you love what you do, then what you do will love you back. Got to learn to do that, folks. Now, let's break off on something. I've just taken you through the factors that make a made-up mind. Do not be hesitant with this stuff. Do not you dare. These could be the most important pages of notes you ever wrote down. It's a simple subject, but it's the most important subject. But if you'll do those things all the way back and you create a lifestyle of this, this is not something that you take and say, well, as long as I'm with AMC, I can do this. Or this is not something you take for a week, 6 months, or a year. This is a way of life. This is a way of life. And you never know how many people you will affect in your lifetime if you'll just live by these simple rules. Make up your mind of what you're going to do. Make up your mind of where you're going. But when you do that, and you truly elevate yourself to the made-up mind status, then you'll find yourself becoming a leader of others. There'll be others attracted to you, just as you're attracted maybe to me or anybody else that you, hey, they've got something I want. Just did I say you got to hang out with people that are above your level of status or concept, right? I told you to hang out, seek out people that are stronger in your weak areas. You'll find when you start doing this, you're going to start becoming a leader of others, and there's responsibility in that. You'll be responsible for passing this along to other people. Now, when you become a leader, thought it was interesting that came up at the end of the talk. I want to read something to you. You can all get copies of this if you'd like. This hangs on our walls. And Dr. Rowan wrote this, I guess 12, 13 years ago, but he wrote this poem. And I'd like to read it to you because it's so filled with truth. And if you get a copy of this and you read this thing, it might take you years, Dr. Toddy, to actually digest it. Dr. Garth, I suggest you ask your coach to make a copy and mail it to you. But it's called A Leader. A leader lives on time. Didn't I tell you you had to rise early? If you're getting down to your practice at 10 till 9, you need to be getting there 30 to 45 minutes before you start, having pre-thought time. But a leader lives on time. My grandfather taught me that a long time ago. And I don't know why that one stuck with me so much, but he was a shrewd businessman, and he was worth some money. Well, he retired at, was it 65, Dr. Owen? Retired at 65, and he passed away at 93, and he lived off of what he made before he was 65 for those 30 years, and put my grandmother through how many bypass surgeries, cash. He lives on. He said, Tommy, he said, it's better in life. It's better to be an hour early than a minute late. I'm not talking about appointments. You don't know when opportunity is going to come to you. And if you're a minute late, you missed it. You need to learn a lifestyle of living on time. A leader lives on time, keeps up to date, and is organized. A leader cannot participate in negativity. A leader is a self-motivator. A leader is the pace setter. A leader must consider, encourage, and bring out the best in others. A leader is non-emotional, but fair. A leader is a decision maker. A leader is not affected by the external or external reports. Worry. A leader keeps to self and keeps business under his hat. A leader has definite chief goals and keeps them foremost. A leader never participates in petty thoughts, deeds, or conversation. He exerts self-control, dresses and walks tall. He is the one who can say no. He is also careful of what is fed into his or her mind. A leader is a confidence and faith leader. He must not seek or indulge in sympathy. He commands respect. He projects power from within and outward. A leader cannot be haughty or egotistical. He does not vacillate mentally, physically, or emotionally. A leader must be able to change hat and pace. And a leader is always the light and is the advanced visionary. Get a copy of it, folks. Now, make a habit of controlling your thinking and your thoughts, because life is nothing more than one great big habit. You want me to review that and say it one more time so you can write it out? Make a habit of thinking and controlling your thoughts, because life is one big list of habits. And everybody get a piece of paper and write this down, because this is the essence of it all. This is the essence of a made-up mind. Write this down with me. Protect your thoughts, for they will become your words. Protect your words, for they will become your actions. Protect your actions, for they will become your habits. Watch your habits. Is everybody with me still? Okay. Protect your thoughts, for they will become your words. Protect your words, for they will become your actions. Watch your actions, for they will become your habits. Now watch your habits, for that will make your character. Tell me when everybody's caught up to that. Everybody up to that point? Up to the habits? Watch your habits, for that will make your character. Watch your character, for that will be your destiny. Now everybody should go home and have those written up, framed, and placed wherever you spend the majority of your time or when your thinking time is. Because how many times, doctors, have you heard Dr. Owen and I talk about stinking thinking? Stinking thinking gets you what, Dr. Hamilton? Stinking results. Protect your thoughts, for they will become your words. Watch what you say, for that will become your action. Watch what you do, because that will become your habit. Your habits are going to be your character. Your character. And whatever your character is, that's going to control your destiny. You know, doctors, I heard my mother taught me this, and I heard Dad talk about it before. It sticks with me. I told you, your mind's going to be filled no matter what you do, right? What it's filled with depends on what you allow into it. What you allow into it will result into whatever you get out of life. It is that simple, plain and simple. There's no one in here more special than the next. You all have the exact same potential. It is not marked on location, markets. It has nothing to do with that. The potential lies within and what you're willing to do with it. But you know, docs, you got to think anyway. You know, you're going to think anyway. So why don't you just go ahead and think abundance? What's it going to hurt? You might write that one down. You're going to think anyway. You're either going to think negative, doubt, poverty. Why don't you just go ahead and think abundance? Not going to hurt. Not going to hurt you. Not going to hurt me. Just go ahead and think it. Now, I'm in this class with this. Let me share with you a few examples of a made-up mind. And keep in mind that these people I'm going to talk about have had no marketing at the time they made up their mind. They've had no special service from AMC. They're in no special location or any special market that's similar. They're all in different situations. They're all completely different character. But this is what a made-up mind can do. Dr. Barney, in 3 months, doubled his services. 4 months, doubled his collections. Dr. Janine Johnson increased $2,000 over her base her first month. By her third month, she was $8,000 over her base. She had 44 new patients her second month. Dr. Michael Hughes went $11,000 over his base his first month, second, and third month. Dr. Keith Lynch had 12 new patients his first month. That was the guy that had 2 new patients his first 3 months in practice. Dr. Triplett, her first month, went $1,500 over her base. In her second month, she had $6,200 plus in service. Dr. Wilbur, in his third month, $4,500 increase. First month, he had a 45 patient visit increase. Dr. Dallier's second month in practice, 405 visits increased. Third visit, 405 patient visits, third, 543rd. He did over 20,000 in service. Chad Combs doubled his practice in his third month. Dr. Toddy increased his case average from $800 to $1,800. Second month went $5,000 increase over a base. Dr. Michael Borski increased $4,000 his first month. Dr. Shane Black doubled his practice third month, $14,000. Dr. David Head first month increased $3,500. Second month, $9,000. Dr. Garth Johnson went $4,800 increase in his first month. Dr. Doug Bush second month, $4,000 increase. John Hamilton second month went from $5,000 service to over $20,000 service. Dr. Brad McNulty increased $2,500 his first month. Jason Smith doubled his practice 3 months. Lynn Thompson's third month went $9,000 increase over her base. Dr. Robert Bearden, first month, increased $6,000, 152 patient visits. Dr. Blake Hahn, first month, increased $4,445 and increased 199 patient visits. Dr. Jeff Hefner, first month, increased $5,226, 184 patient visits. Dr. Kerry Johnson, first month, increased $3,778 and 169 patient visits. Those are just some examples of nothing more than a made-up mind of getting your butt in gear and doing something about your current situation. Now, those were all within 3 months of starting their made-up mind. What difference is it going to make 20 years from now? What difference is that going to make 20 years from now if you increase somebody $10,000 a month in collections? You're talking millions, folks, just from a made-up mind, nothing more. Nothing special, nothing similar about any of those people. Just make up your mind to do something, folks. Change what you only got one today, and you hopefully have a tomorrow. I'm going to end this with this one little saying. Upon your table sets your chalice. Dr. Hallett, what you drink of it will be what you allow to be put in it. I'll say it again. Upon your table sets your chalice. What you drink of it will be what you allow to be put in it. With that, you are to be back here in 10 minutes. Great big family.